Hey, everybody, live from Harlem in New York City. Yeah, it's me, it's Alex, and this is The Ramble. Ladies and gentlemen, that there is Lori Thompson.
Hello. Yeah. I was trying to fluff my hair.
Who changed her outfit so that she would look different the next week.
That's right. I want you to feel like it's a variety show. Yeah.
And she was talking about the sweater and how she bought it in different pinks, and it's hard to buy pink when you're on Amazon because there are many different levels of pink.
Right. Like, I got this really cool purple suit. It's vintage. And it has... It's dark purple. You know? Oh. Yeah, you hit a button, it plays Smoke on the Water. No, but it's got, like, accents that go from light lavender to darker lavender to pink and fuchsia. Mm-hmm. So I had to... It's for a funeral, so the suit is appropriate, but I wanted to give it a little bit of personality. So I thought, well, I'll do that. But there is no standard for colors for fuchsia and lavender and pink. They all bleed together.
They're all the same thing.
Like four.
Yeah. All the same. See, here's the thing. Again, we're talking about the difference between men and women. Mm-hmm. For guys, there's like red, there's green, there's black, there's white. With women, there's fuchsia, there's mauve.
Lavender. You're right. You are so on target there. Yeah, we have 10 different words for a shirt that we show you. 10 different words to describe
guys
the color.
Guys have no, you know, relationship to that.
You know? Yeah, I do, just because I used to do that travel thing on TV, and we had to go and do outfits. Alpats. We had a deal with Giorgio. There's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
And so I got more acquainted with what looks good together.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to take the most subtle color of piping in your garment and then bring it out with your shirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
You got that down. Right. Little lesson.
I'm a little, I seem to be a little out of sync. Yeah, that doesn't matter.
I don't think so.
No. Anyway, well, here on this, so don't worry. Don't worry about it. Screw the audience. If I'm out of sync, I'm out of sync. All right?
As long as it's not a sinkhole.
I can, you know, I can change the sync by doing this. Here I go. Watch this. Watch we change the sync. See, now the sync is better. And then I go back to this. And the sync will be, let me just make sure here. Okay, here we go. I think the sync is fine. It's
good
better
one.
Than it was. Anyway.
I wish you would come and work on my Netflix bit.
Okay, so we were talking about shirts. Then I mentioned, my, your breasts are looking good. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm coming on to her or because I'm even caring about the breasts. But right. I do remember when you got those things, shall we say, augmented.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And was years ago in San Francisco, and one day she comes to work, and suddenly she's got a rack, you know.
Blah, 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 boom.
And before that, you were just very moderate, right? You just...
Yeah, I was pretty small. Moderate would be a stretch, you know, because I wondered why. And it was because I'm really athletic when I was in puberty and adolescence. And so that, you know, boobs are just fat. That's basically what they are.
Yeah.
If you know, so I thought, well, I'm going to buy a house. And when I can afford a house, then I'll get the boobs. And that's because I thought otherwise it would illustrate priorities were out of whack.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I did a survey of every woman I knew well enough to know she had breast implants. I would say, who did yours? And there was a Stanford-based plastic surgeon who his name kept coming up all the time. When you're going to have a procedure like this, ask questions. I mean, interview people. And it was such a good job.
Well, remember when they used to refer to fake breasts or augmented breasts? Let me not call them fake.
Yes.
as silicone. And the fact was that they really got to a point where they weren't even silicone anymore. In the beginning, what they did, like Carol Doda, that was the first person in San Francisco, made a big deal out of the fact she had her breasts done. But what they did is they pumped in silicone into her breasts to make them larger. And that, of course, was not a good idea because these things got very hard and went bad. Now, but here's the thing. So you get this these implants, and they're really good ones, right?
Yeah, they're great. They lasted 20 years.
Oh, well, that's what I asked. See, when, during the break, I said to her, are those the same breasts I used to know? You know? And you said, no, you had them redone, but you had them redone by a doctor that wasn't good.
He was not good. He was Mississippi. I don't know what I was thinking, having plastic surgery
The tit capital of the world is Mississippi, right?
Yeah. And plus, the other ones that were wonderful were above the muscle, and they looked like real boobs. Whether you're standing up, sitting down, bending over, they looked like real breasts.
Yeah.
But they get capsulated. So they feel like you've got like soy, you know, you have a bunch of kidney beans, bags of kidney beans in your boobs.
I wonder with all that grabbing your breasts, I'm going to get declassified here on the, on YouTube. But anyway,
and this guy with consultations, and he came with a recommendation from my GP who'd had her boobs done. Mm-hmm. And so I went to this guy, and he seemed very friendly, had a really good, great staff. He was a good salesman. That was it.
Yeah.
And so, but he wanted to do it above the muscle, and I didn't, and I was actively exercising at the time, push-ups. I did 200 push-ups a day as a way of keeping my abs. And he didn't tell me that if you get under the muscle, you can't do push-ups again ever in your life. And whether or not I do push-ups, it looks, when I'm leaning over, like a fake breast. You can see the outline.
Because I know, I've seen that in porn where women will lean over and you can see this line.
It's not even a line. It's you can see the implant, and it makes your boob go concave. It makes, like, if you're leaning over, or even...
How long ago did you have the second one done?
4 years. 4 years. And I've thought many times of going public with it because it's awful. It's mutilation, this guy. Yeah. There aren't that many plastic surgeons.
You can't go somewhere and have it corrected?
Well, they're livable. And I'm married now.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be, he doesn't demand total perfection in my boobs. But, and they look good. They look good if you're just looking at me. They look great.
Well, they look great. They look terrific, you know. And really, you know, you're not going to go around topless everywhere.
Spain, but yeah.
Yeah. But so you got those, and after so many years, they did what? They started capsulating or something, you said?
They get capsulating, and it feels like there are small rubber pellets inside your breast.
Were you told by your original doctor that eventually this might happen?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why I was willing to take partial responsibility for the encapsulation, because you're supposed to massage them every day. And I got to where I was.
I know guys that would have come over and been happy to do it for you. Or women. Women who would do it for you.
Yeah. I should have developed a number system. Like, you're on Tuesdays. Okay. You got the 24th.
Yeah.
You know, and just have.
Would you please massage my breast for about 2 minutes here so I don't get capsules? So you didn't do it, and so after 20 years, you had a problem.
That's a pretty long time for a boob job to be good, you know. And it was maybe even 25.
Yeah.
And over the muscle is so much better than under the muscle.
Why didn't you just go back to San Francisco and have the same guy do it?
I don't know. I thought that would be because my husband and I weren't married yet, and I bitched about it so much. He said, if you want them redone, I'll pay for it. And so I didn't think, you know, I thought it would be kind of like mean to say, okay, and I'm also going to get them done in San Francisco, so it's going to be $4,000 more because of the airfare. But in retrospect, I would.
Yeah, yeah.
But he may be retired.
They look fine. They look
boobular.
You know, I mean, you would. I'm sure guys stare at you when you walk down the street.
Right, which is, believe it or not, was not my intention. I just always wanted a perfect set of 34s to take to the beach. 34 C's.
Yeah, yeah.
To take. That's what I got.
We had one of these that we didn't record, or two of them we didn't record because we didn't have audio. And we got into a very good discussion about just the sexuality that you have versus me, the guy, and the sexuality I had.
Right.
And we talked about the fact that women, well, I love it when they say, you know, guys are different than women. No shit. You know, of course they are.
Yeah, but then when they get out there with their, I call them generalizations, like men do this, women, no. The individuality comes into play significantly in those, you know, statistics.
Well, you know, they say they'll be married and then all of a sudden the marriage goes bad and they go, where did we go wrong? Well, where you went wrong was by getting married.
Yeah, it changes
things. Because, you know, you have to accept guys are completely different from you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of women expect guys to have the same set of standards that they have. But their set of standards are set by their biology.
Right.
And our set of standards are set by our biology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can go crazy with sex because there's no price to pay for it.
Exactly. There's no consequence.
There's no consequences. With women, there are consequences. I mean, what's the biggest thing going on in this country right now during the political campaign? It's the whole question of abortion, okay? Now, I as a guy, of course, I'm all for you being able to have an abortion, and I think the government should not tell you what to do with your body and all of that, but I'm only saying that because I want to get laid. And I'm also saying it because I believe that, but the fact is that guys can never have the same passion for the right to abortion in this country as women have. We can say yes, oh, we agree with it, you know. I don't know many guys who are, you know, against. I don't know if people are for abortion, you know.
No.
I don't think a woman wakes up in the morning and goes, you know, I think I want to get pregnant today so I can go get an abortion.
Right.
Nobody says that, okay?
I should take a hobby out of that.
Nobody
yeah.
wants abortion. I mean, I'm sure you've known women who've had abortions.
I don't believe in serial abortions. That's, you know, there's
yeah,
some
but
women.
I'm sure you've known women who've had abortions.
Yes.
Well, and afterwards, how did they feel about it? You know, they didn't feel good. It's not a feel-good thing.
No, I think relief. Relief is the feeling they get more than anything.
Yes, but they don't use it as a form of contraception.
Some women do, I think.
Really?
Really? And I don't know if it has, because access to birth control is so frowned upon. I don't know the mores of their family. But, yeah, I think some women use it as a form of contraception. Not many. Not many, but some are that. Some women are that cavalier, I think.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I used to say that men who don't believe in abortion, you can sway them by doing what the sobbing women did, wasn't it? They refused to have sex with any guy who doesn't support abortion. And pretty soon, every dude will support abortion.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, most guys don't have any argument against abortion. I mean, here's the thing about abortion that bothered me a little bit, but it's only because of me and my experience in my life, you know, where I got a girl pregnant when I was 19, and she had the baby, and then she gave it up for adoption. Okay? And I never saw the kid. I do know it was a boy.
Uh-huh.
It's a long story about how I knew it was a boy. But anyway, after that, you know, I was for the ability for women to do this because I knew what we went through. you know.
Yes.
But on the other hand, as a guy, I would like the woman, let's say you got pregnant by me. It would never happen, folks, because, in fact, we've slept with each other, literally.
Yeah, it's just not in our scheme.
The only thing that went on that looked like sex was we said, let's make a video of us lying in bed and talking about how, hey, look, we can lie in bed together and nothing. And then we turn off the lights and you hear us moaning and groaning. Yeah.
Right.
But it was fine, you know, because we worked together. I don't think of her in that nature.
At all. And we were such good friends. I mean, I don't
want to
spoil it.
But let's say we suddenly had some kind of thing and you got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And now you wanted to get an abortion.
Right.
Should you tell me?
I would want to, but that gives you power to control everything.
Really?
This way, because I have the power to control your children.
Well, that's, yeah, but I it would be nice if I could know.
Right.
Because, after all, it is half mine. I mean,
exactly.
Well, it's not mine till it's out in the world, but basically I'm responsible for half of it.
Yeah, and I
should have no say-so over whether you have the abortion or not, but I'd like to know.
Yeah, I would want to tell you, but I know that other women in that position have told the guy, and then he created just myriad problems when she wanted to have an abortion. There are things you can do through the courts, and so you're taking a real chance.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand that, but the fact is that the thing is, if you were required to tell the guy,
yeah,
it might save us from having a lot of abortions for this reason. The guy would go, oh, no, please have the baby. I love you. And she goes,
yeah.
You do?
Or they might find they have enough to build on. Yeah,
exactly. But when you just go out and have the abortion, don't tell him. There's no chance you're going to have that discussion.
No, exactly. And that's why I feel like the man should be entitled to know before the abortion. But I can understand a woman's reservation because that guy then.
Okay, I've never heard that explanation before.
Yeah.
You know, because I've often said that the problem that I always had was I would like to know if I had a woman who got pregnant, I would like to know she was pregnant. I'd like to have the opportunity to say, oh, no, let's have the kid. I'm more than happy to marry you and take care of the kid and all of that. And that might change the whole nature of what you plan to do only because you thought, hey, the guy doesn't love me or whatever.
Or this is not gonna, yeah. And I think the perspective is a lot different when teenagers are involved because that's something that's going to determine the course of their life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got to tell you, having that kid, even though I never saw the kid, all I saw was a medical report and I could read upside down in the doctor's office because I went to see the doctor. And she was giving up. In those days, you could give it up and it was a blind abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, the person who adopted them, I don't think if I went back to look for records, I could find them.
And we could scour San Francisco looking for guys that look like you.
Well, I think it's Howard Stern, but that's another story altogether. But, I mean, I went through that, and that profoundly affected my life, to this day.
Uh-huh.
In my relationships with women and how protective I was of them not getting pregnant and asking every one of them, are you taking the pill? You're doing something like that? Because if you're not, I'm using my own form of contraception. So I was very responsible that way. But it did affect me, you know, and that's why to this day I don't have any children.
Right, and yet you do, yeah. And it's the idea that someone with my genetic material that's going to probably inherit a lot of traits from me I didn't want to impose that on a child. I know how I can be.
Well, no, but I don't know that a child necessarily gets that from you. I think a child gets that from you by being raised by you and seeing that behavior, but yeah. It's not genetic. In other words, you can't pass the crazy gene over to your kid.
I don't know, Ben. Like, my biological grandmother, I've mentioned this several times before, committed suicide, as did three of her brothers. And that, I'm sorry, those odds are just really shitty.
Well, I would have liked to have had a kid, because I think that, you know, the Schwarzman gene had in it, well, they were all musicians. Every member of my family was a musician. I wasn't, but I still went into show business, mm-hmm. You know. So my kid might have grown up and wanted to go into show business. Maybe yeah. Because he grew up with me, you know, and saw the possibilities.
Yes.
And I think I would have made a great father, but Marjorie's never had kids either. Mm-hmm. And I often ask her, does it ever bother you that you didn't? She said, only slightly. You know?
Yeah, it never bothered
me. That was a choice I made, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? I've always thought that I would make a great stepmother or a grandma. You know, I'm at the age now where I could think about that. And Rick has a daughter who I consider my daughter now. And she was married, went through a divorce, and now she's back with the guy who's great. He tunes piano.
In other words, they were married, they got divorced.
And then they got back together.
Good.
Yeah, and they get along great now. And so
did they get remarried, or are they?
I don't think it's official. I don't think it's legal.
Is she gone from wife to booty call?
Yeah. but they've lived together.
That's so nice. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And yet, we were visiting them upstate New York, and she dropped the bomb that they're not going to have any kids. And so I'm going to have to be a grandmother some other way. I know.
Yeah. Well, I had a girlfriend. Remember the young girlfriend I had?
Which one?
Stop it. You know, the one that kept looking at television, a National Geographic special, and going, look, kitties.
I was going to say, a young girlfriend.
Yeah, well, in that case, she came back 20 years later after we broke up, and it was a big romance again.
Really?
And then all of a sudden, she used that opportunity to break my heart one more time.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you always brought, home to the station, you always brought thinking women. I like the women that you dated, except for one. Yeah, and I didn't like the one because I thought she was using you, and I thought she was being not honest with you at all. I think she was called Fish Princess.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. You could have been right about that, but that was a very minor relationship in the
end. It was.
It became very well known because I referred to her as Fish Princess because she and her ex-husband owned a fish company on Fisherman's Wharf. And so she was involved in the business. I used to call her Fish Princess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I gave all my girlfriends nicknames.
Yeah, for their sake, for their anonymity.
Yes, exactly.
But I loved your Greek girlfriend. In fact, I loved your Greek girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, that was the one that broke my heart.
I know. That was a
12-year relationship, and in the 12 years we broke up 11 times.
See, that's what my relationship was with my teenage boyfriend. We dated from 14 to 20, and
off and on.
I know. The only thing that changed
people
was
say,
the car.
Did you ever cheat on her? And I said, I don't know, because we broke up so many times that in those intervals when we broke up,
right.
I'm immediately out on the street doing my thing, you know.
Yeah, you were free to.
But who I felt sorry for, believe it or not, were all the women I was going out with, who I had to say, well, we've got to break up because I'm going back with my old girlfriend.
Right. You know,
there was always this looming ex-girlfriend that, you know, and it was, I felt sorry for them. I felt they got short-cheated.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting with people that your family loves. Like, my family loved my first boyfriend, and he was great. And from my perspective, he had a great rack, and he was very successful in insurance. But I knew him as a teenager working at Napa Auto Parts. So we grew together. And then we had sex for the first time, each one of us. And then, of course, we liked it and continued for about another year. And then we broke up. And my mom introduced him to another woman, one of her real estate clients, that he married. And I was like, Mother, what is your thinking?
What are you doing? Aren't you supposed to shill for me?
Yeah, aren't you on my side? I just thought, what are you doing to me, man? I mean, she knew that we always had a bond. And then it was like, oh, man. But I've let that go. You can tell.
Man, we're running over, but this is so good, this stuff.
It's fun.
It really is.
To talk about, like, male generalization, female generalization.
I'll tell you one funny story about my mother.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, she'd come to New York, and, of course, she'd stay at my place, and I don't know. I made her sleep on the couch, oddly enough.
You did? Now, did
well, that because I don't want you sleeping in my bed. I need my bed. I'm a single guy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she stayed for about 3 weeks, and over that 3 weeks, there were any number of women who came through to say hello to me.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
So she finally, at the end of the 3 weeks, she says to me, you know, I'm just not very happy with you and the women that you hang out with.
She said that?
Yeah, and I said, well, do you like any of them? She said, well, I really love that. I kind of like that Rhoda. She's really nice. I said, but that other woman, and I can't even remember the woman's name now. Her I don't like.
Did she give reasons?
Hmm?
Did she give reasons?
Well, I had to then say to my mother, Mom, you have to know this. The woman you don't like comes from very good stock. In fact, her aunt and uncle wrote the song "The Way You Were," "The Way We Were."
Oh, now I can find out who it is.
Yeah, and she is a graphic artist who does book covers.
Cool.
Right,
she had
a whole bunch of book covers. She did. I said, and the one you like is a porno actress.
Oh my gosh!
And she almost swallowed her tongue. Mom, always a good judge of character.
Yeah, a good screener.
Well, there was nothing wrong with the porno actress's character. She was just fine. But the other one had a great pedigree.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. Funny, because parents, they look at a whole different set of variables when they're choosing.
We're really running over, but I got to tell you one little story. The one whose aunt and uncle were the writers of The Way We Were. And more songwriters, very successful songwriters, Alan and Marilyn Bergman.
Oh,
Yeah. And this woman's name is Bergman. And she got sick. She got some kind of cooties. I can't remember what. So I went out to her place in Long Island, right?
Right.
To see her and see how she was. And she was staying at her parents' place. And she was looking through a box full of letters. And she said, these are love letters that my father wrote to my mother when they were dating.
Did you kill for one?
He said, they're really wonderful. And there's one here where he actually proposes to her.
Oh, my God.
And she said, look at it and read it. And it starts off, what are you doing the rest of your life?
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding.
And he said, my aunt and uncle stole that. Anyway,
Thanks.
This has been a good one. But we just had real fun here. We always do. I thank you so much for redoing these, because we were... The other ones were so good, you know.
But these were even better, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like I have, you know, my schedule is full. The only thing I have going is a funeral. So.
Yeah, you have a funeral, and I'm sorry to hear about your aunt.
Hey, my aunt. She left. The reason it's so significant of all our aunts and uncles, she's the last one. I mean, our parents.
Yeah.
Because my parents were like, or my cousins were my siblings. So it's like a mom died.
Yeah. And we listen to the birds. We get to listen to the birds.
That's it, man.
By the way, quickly, to hell with it. This thing's run 30 minutes now. But I don't care. It means I have less time to talk to other people. Anyway, you had a hurricane.
We did. Hurricane.
But now it will have been a few weeks ago. Did it hit you at all?
No. The only thing we got was a lot of rain the night before it hit landfall. We got a lot of rain, but other than that, see, the panhandle is pretty protected. Now, that was in what they call the Big Bend area of the Gulf Coast, and so it got hit bad. Now, we are between, if you drew a line between Mobile, Alabama, and Tallahassee, Florida, we're right in the middle of it on the Florida
coast. Okay, so you didn't get hit.
We didn't get hit. It rained a lot, but that's all.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay, because I was a little worried about it. I looked at the map that they were showing, and I went, I think she lives there, and nothing's happening there, but this is happening here, you know.
Yeah, a tiny town.
I mean, so far as I'm concerned, if it wiped out all of Florida but your little region, I would have felt fine with that.
That's what we'll program the next hurricane to do exactly
anyway,
that.
You remember how seriously brain damaged I was when I came back from Florida? Anyway, we've gone 31 minutes on this, and they're going to kill me for it. Thank you so much, Lori Thompson. Bye-bye. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Now in its 10th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lori. Listen, I got to tell you, that was recorded several weeks ago, right? And we are talking about the problem with her and, the hurricane and so on and so forth. And then we have a new hurricane now. Okay? We have a new hurricane. And she is I wrote her today to see how she was doing, and I didn't hear back from her, so I don't know, but all I know is that I looked at the map, and it's kind of going up around her area. But I think it may just miss her. But I won't be happy till I hear from her and see how she's doing. And let's see, did she ever write back? No, she didn't write back. Okay, so we'll just. It does say that does it say that the mail was delivered? Okay, here. Hold on a second. Yeah, delivered. Yeah. So apparently she hasn't. I'll write her tomorrow an email and see if she gets that. You know, if indeed they're out of there and they're not going onto their computer, they haven't got any internet. You know, that's a problem. Anyway, I'm sneezing today, and my eyes are burning, and yet I don't think it's pollen out there, and the temperature is low, so I don't know. See how red my eyes are? Yeah, they're red. Yeah. No, well, who cares? Anyway, so that was my life, and I'm going to stick to it. Anyway, I hope she's okay, and, as I said in that interview, I don't care what happens to Florida, but, I do have some, Albert is supposed to be coming tomorrow, but they couldn't come tomorrow, so they said, could they come yesterday, but I couldn't have them come yesterday because I already have people staying here, okay. They came to visit us, and they're leaving tomorrow morning. And then we were going to say, okay, now you go with the next group of people come in here. This has become like a B&B, right? So now they were going to let me see here. Where were they going? It was one right on top of the other. I couldn't have them come yesterday. So now it looks like they're coming tomorrow, which they won't be coming tomorrow. They'll be coming on Friday. That's it. Okay. Friday. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But anyway, let me admit some people here, to our program, and we'll let them all join us. Here's Charlie Wallace and Tom Yamaguchi, and there's Kevin Stopper's iPhone. He's in a car, I think. Are you delivering stuff?
Yep,
that's what he's doing, folks. He's delivering stuff. Okay. Anyway. And Brian Neary, we're waiting for him to come on. I was worried about Brian Neary because I didn't hear from him for a week. But he's here now, or we think he's here now. But we'll wait and see what happens. He probably signed on and then... Oh, there he is. Well, blip. Okay. There he is. Where are you? Are you at home, or are you in a hotel somewhere, or what?
He's still connecting.
How's my...
Yeah, I can hear you. We can hear you.
Yeah, can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
It's got to be a motel. No, nobody paints a room all white.
Yeah.
Is that a motel?
I haven't finished modeling. Oh, my God.
Oh, okay.
See, my internet's so bad.
No, but it's working fine.
It works. Time to move back to San Jose.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
You're fine.
Yeah. So we haven't heard from you in a week. We haven't heard from you in a week, and I was worried about you, you know?
I know. Timing was just, bad. It was, just things happening, and, yeah, it was, yeah. Stephanie plays... Yeah, Stephanie plays flag football on Thursday nights. So I've been watching her play football on Tuesday and Thursday nights. Friday night, I was drinking. weird things happening. So.
Weird things are happening. I was drinking, and weird things are happening.
Yeah. Weird things happen.
He seems awful smiley there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so life is good.
Look exhausted.
Yeah, been doing a lot of driving.
A lot of driving?
Yeah, because Thursday nights, Tuesday and Thursday nights, her games are at 7 p.m. And then I drive after she's done around 8 or so, then I drive an hour back home. And then I turn around and drive an hour back the next morning, so...
But Stephanie is Stephanie's the other daughter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the older one.
Yeah.
Yes. So somebody's got to watch her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's nice of you. That's wonderful. Even though you don't seem to be having much of a relationship with the mother any longer.
But you know, I mean, Charlie. I think Charlie played sport. You know, some of us played sports, and when you play sports and your parents aren't there to watch,
yeah,
you. Sometimes it's why play, you know? At least when I played, that's how I was.
Because you were playing for them, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you get a little extra boost. Yeah, so, just get disappointed in parents.
Yeah.
When he said he was driving, I thought he said he was on drugs.
Well, you know, for a guy who waited till how old to have a child, his first child, you were in your late 40s?
What, 50s?
48.
No,
late 40s.
48.
48.
Yeah.
48.
You sure turned out to be a good father. Even to the children that, you know, aren't your blood, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because I always wanted them to do something, some sports or something. And Stephanie was doing tennis, but couldn't go to any tennis stuff. And now she's doing this, and we can go to that. So her mom went, two times. And then doesn't go, and so I go, you know, and Stephanie sees me, and she's all excited, you know, she waves, and She plays really good, but you know, they're like quarterback favors just hucking the ball at a couple of the other kids, and she's open.
Yeah.
And finally, they started using her the other night, so it was like, you know, really exciting for her. And then actually, Tiffany did go that night, her and I both. So, so those things are exciting for her. So
yeah,
I know how it is. Like I said, playing sports, your parents are there, it's always a little bump. So
yeah. Well, you turned out to be a good father, you know. It suits you well.
Yep, got to break the chain sometimes. So.
Yeah. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing okay. Hope Lori's okay in the wake of this big hurricane. I call Milton the Monster. I don't know if you remember, there was an old cartoon show in the 60s called Milton the Monster.
Really? I don't ever remember that.
Yeah, it was sort of like a Frankenstein and the Frankenstein's monster, the Frankenstein doctor. The premise was that he had this potion called tenderness, and he had only to add a little drop so that the monster would not be so bad it would kill him. But he accidentally dumped a whole bunch of the potion into the mix, and then Milton was a big sweetheart. So that was the whole premise of the cartoon. But
anybody remember Milton the Monster?
No. I do.
Yep, you do? I remember it.
Reminds me of Donald Trump in reverse.
Did you remember him, Kevin?
Yeah, I remember. I used to watch it all the time.
Really? Oh, wow. Because I don't remember it. But then again.
Really? Well, you're a grown man. I was a teenager. I was even not watching any real cartoons on Saturday morning then. But that one just sort of like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. But yeah, so that's hitting the coast right now.
Yeah,
hitting the coast right now. So I hope Lori is okay.
Well, she's up towards the top of the
toward the panhandle.
Towards the panhandle. Yeah.
Okay.
In the panhandle. Yeah.
Yeah, or in the panhandle. So it is going to be windy up there, and it's going to be rainy. But I don't know if it's going to be flooding and things like that.
They're doing your fun thing. They're saying, oh, we hope, Caitlin Collins is reporting saying, oh, we're hoping, we're getting the CNN reporters so they're safe. And I'm like, get them the fuck out of there. They'll be safe if we get them out of there.
Tonight I'm watching Lester Holt on NBC.
Yeah.
You know where this moron was?
In the rain.
You know where this moron was? He was in Florida with rain dropping on him. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you down there? Are you helping in any way? You're probably just getting in the way.
The reporters were there.
Hmm?
The reporters were under the shelter, but then Lester, they got to have him in the rain.
Yeah, and but then, if they get flooded in and the winds are too much, and, I mean, I was hoping the wind would come along and blow Lester on his ass. But they stick these poor people out in the middle of the rain. And I always remember the time that I watched one of these things and the person was going, oh man, it's a really flooded around here and so on. And you look in the back and there is a ledge. It's, it's dry. That all she had to do was get out of that and just climb up on that and she would have been dry. But no, she wants to be in the middle with her waders going, look at me, how brave I am.
It's even worse when they got the guy leaning into the wind and then you look in the background and some lady's walking their dog.
They did that once.
I remember that one.
Yes, yes. Yes, but I mean, excuse me. I have for some reason I don't have a cold, but I'm an allergy tonight. I had no idea. My eyes are burning, and so I'm trying.
I think that I'm not very religious, as most of the people know here, but I think this is God's way of telling us that we shouldn't allow Trump to run for president.
I don't think so.
I do.
In fact, I've decided maybe I'm not voting for Kamala Harris.
I know. You said
why is that? Why is that?
Well, I've watched her recently on some of these shows she goes on, like Stephen Colbert and so on, and I have found her to not be as excellent as I thought she was. Here's the problem she has. She goes on 60 Minutes, all right? I guess we haven't done this show since she was on 60 Minutes.
That was a good show, I thought.
I didn't think so at all. I thought she was terrible. I thought the problem with her was, you know, for the longest time, the thing I've liked about her is she brought joy to the election process. She brought joy to her campaign. There's a certain light, happy quality, while still being serious about the matters at hand, but it was the joy that I really, really, I found infectious, and none of that joy was on display on 60 Minutes. It was just like she was too serious, you know.
Should I change my voting card?
Well, my other reason,
Kamala, I don't know if my camera's.
My other reason is she did Howard Stern.
But I
heard that interview. I thought it was really good.
I heard him do it. I thought he was so softball, it was ridiculous.
Well, all right, I will defend it, and I also heard the interview with Biden. I really liked that too. It's a different kind of interview. And basically the whole idea behind it is to really, you know, everybody said, oh, we don't know Kamala Harris. We don't know who she is. I mean, it gave her an opportunity to for us to really know who she is, her values, her interests, her music interests, her, you know, she's a big Prince fan. I just love the whole interview. I thought it was really great. And I know And I'll tell you, Alex, I know, you know, I have not been a Howard Stern fan going back to when he was trying to push you off the air. I am not a Howard, but I have to admit I've developed a respect for Howard Stern. I thought the way he conducted the interview was really good.
Well, I saw that interview.
It was different from what. Yeah.
But saw that interview was he was fawning over her. He was just not asking any hard questions.
I don't think that was the point.
That's not Howard. Howard's known for being able to be somewhat in your face with stuff. And you know, if she were to come on here, I would ask her some tough questions. I'm for her, and I think she's, you know, I want to see her be president. But on the other hand, I would ask her some hard questions. I mean, I felt in some of these interviews that I've seen, she skirted stuff that she shouldn't have skirted. It didn't look bad. It didn't look good. It had a bad look to it, you know?
Okay. Well, I haven't seen the 60 Minutes interview.
She did 60 Minutes. In 1 week, she did 60 Minutes. She did Colbert. She did Stern and The View. Mm-hmm. Oh, and one other one, some woman who has a...
Call her daddy. Call her daddy.
Yeah. Was that it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like a, that's almost like a, from what I understand, it's a women's place to talk about sex and all that other crap. So what she's on is she's on a social media. I got to do an interview with this group. I got to do an interview with this group. And she's trying to drag in votes. That's obvious. I mean,
a lot of people were complaining about the host of that, Who's Your Daddy or whatever that thing is. Because
Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper, is it?
It's
really close to what you think.
No, but she didn't. They said she had a certain way of doing her show, and that she went against that. She was like, she was too gobsmacked by the fact that she had Kamala Harris there, rather than just doing what she always does.
Yeah. I almost saw that on all of them, really.
Yeah.
You know, you could see that a little bit on each one, but I think it was more of a, I think it was more of a personality tour on all these places, except maybe 60 Minutes, and I didn't see that one, but I saw the others. But I think it was more of a personality tour. This is what I'm like Tom's saying, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think she did anything on any of these interviews to get any new voters on her side.
She basically was just reinforcing her idea of, you know, what a douche, you know, Donald Trump is, and what her differences are between him and her. That's pretty much what it was.
Charlie?
Yeah, I saw the 60 Minutes interview, and I thought she did fine on it. But my point here is that there's only two choices. Either Kamala Harris is going to be president or Donald Trump's going to be president. Which one do you want? Did she do anything in any of these interviews to make you think Donald Trump was better than she was?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, but did she do anything on these interviews that started to blur a little bit of the distinction between the two? You know, I mean, I always liked her because I felt she was the, you know, she was the literally the what do you call it, the antidote to Trump. And I didn't feel in any of these interviews she was the antidote to Trump, you know.
Well, I certainly did.
you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, put Trump in any of those interviews and you know what you'd get.
Well, no, but that's why he didn't do them.
Well, yeah, but that's the difference. The difference, Al.
Yeah.
You know, she went in and did them, and if he wants to do them, go ahead. And it'll make it even worse.
Yeah, well, Alan. I mean, Alan?
I'm with Charlie. If you don't vote for her, it sort of gives Donald Trump more of a vote.
Listen, I don't vote for her in New York City, I'm not doing
New York
anything.
New York City and California are kind of the same.
Yeah.
It's blue and it's going to stay blue.
If I don't, you know, if I don't mail my ballot in, it's not going to really change anything.
No.
You know. I mean, that's what always bothered me about this whole thing about Electoral College. I mean, I would like to know that my single vote helps her win. But it doesn't help her win. It didn't help
Hillary
Clinton. And I voted for Hillary Clinton, but my one vote didn't help, you know. And he didn't get he didn't get as many votes as she did. He's never won an election.
Nope. Well, he's never won the popular vote.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but
he never won the popular vote.
Well, you know, should there be any other kind of vote? But a popular vote.
Well, I agree. And you know, of course, there's that, I forget the exact, what they call it, Vernon Nunn, if he was here, he'd tell me. But it's what's called compact, where if you have enough states, and California is one of them, I think New York also, if you have enough states so that their combined electoral votes adds up to 270, if you have those states say, whoever wins the national popular vote gets all our state's electoral college votes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you had that happen, then that would be the person who gets the would actually win the election.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the only way that we'll be able to really do it without doing a constitutional amendment.
Well, I think we got to go for some kind of constitutional amendment and get rid of the goddamn thing because it's not very difficult.
It's really difficult to amend the Constitution. This would probably
3/4 of the states vote for it. And too many states are run by Republicans to ever get 3/4 of them.
And I think we're just a couple of states away from getting that magic 270. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a possibility. We just, you know, and as I said, you know, if you have enough of those states, then we would have the popular vote winner become elected.
Well, you know, I needless to say, I don't want to see Trump win. You know,
I'm in your situation too. As far as California, my vote doesn't make any difference in president. But I want to bury Trump in a landslide of votes for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
I'm definitely voting for Kamala Harris.
Me too.
But all I'm saying, in California, I remember, I keep telling this story. I was supposed to do election night coverage at KMEL. And I think Reagan was running again.
Right.
And so we were going to start our election night coverage at 8 o'clock at night on the West Coast because that's when the polls closed, okay?
Right.
So I'm on my way driving across the bridge, and all of a sudden I hear on the news, and they've just called the election for Ronald Reagan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I got my car.
I turned around and went home.
I did a U-turn in the Golden Gate Bridge and went home. And I called the station. I said, there's no reason for us to be doing anything. Okay.
Don't anybody tell Alex, but he told the same story last week.
I know I told the same story last week.
He'll tell the same story for years. What are you talking about?
I only have three stories. I keep repeating them, and I'm going to keep doing it till you don't listen anymore.
You know, I think she was smart to get on Howard Stern. I don't like him. And not only because you don't, but because I personally don't, but she got a slow start at getting in front of people and doing one-on-one interviews. And I think she's trying to pick that up a little bit and even mix it up with some of these people that are wackos like Howard Stern, you know?
Howard Stern's not a wacko. He's an old man. He's an old man trying to keep his millions, you know? He's not anything special anymore. You know.
That doesn't matter. The more people that get to see her on one-on-one interviews, the better.
I think if she went over to Fox and did an interview, I would be giving her all my support.
I heard she offered to, and Fox said no.
Fox won't do it, yeah.
Fox won't do it? Really?
They don't want to go against Trump.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I heard he turned down the Fox debate, Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I heard.
No, it wasn't a Fox
Trump
debate.
Trump turned down the Fox debate.
Yeah, Trump turned down the Fox debate. That's what I heard.
Was it a Fox debate?
Yeah, Kamala was going to do a debate on Fox.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Because I think it was with Britt Baer. He has to have his Sean Hannity. Trump, I'm telling you guys, I'm getting worried because I think he's the one in hiding, really. He doesn't want to give any interviews, Trump, unless it's in a safe place, because he knows he can't get coherent sentences out. So remember when Biden was in the basement? This guy is so in the basement now, he won't even come out for anything.
Yeah.
He's going to these rallies and spouting complete gibberish.
He makes no sense when he goes off the thing.
Sounds like a three-year-old kid.
Well, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand Kamala Harris should be far more ahead of him.
That's what's scary.
Yeah, that's what's scary.
I told you guys this. Remember I said this, Charlie? They're afraid to vote for the woman, and she's black. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. And that was what my beef was 6 months ago.
Well, she's not black. She's Indian. Or is she black?
Well, whatever. You know, she's not white is what I'm trying to say. You know. But you know,
I don't know what she is. She changes it all the time.
That doesn't matter to me what race she is.
Yeah, but you know what? Tell that to the rednecks living in the middle of the country who still think he's a good idea.
Well, I get what you're saying, Tony, but you know, race isn't an issue here. She's a smart woman. She's capable of running the country.
Yeah. I understand. You know, Alex, you know what I don't get? And Tom and all you guys this too. I can't wrap my head around how they're voting for a guy who literally is a crook.
Yeah.
What does that say for our country that, like, I'm ready to, like, I see
no,
Trump
playing. No, here's the part that's bad. He's a What's crook it? And they don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what's scary.
Yeah. Get over this. It's like bizarre world. Every time I look around, I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
But you have Dallas Cowboy fan friends. You have Dallas Cowboy fans too, right? So you have people that are just dedicated to that cause, and they will not go no matter what.
I just walked the old game with that.
I don't know how many votes these votes are that people are saying that are just out there and they're undecided.
Yeah.
I don't see where that's coming from. Those Trump people are not going to change. No matter how nice Kamala is on these things, no matter how hardball she is on those.
Bring back the rule of law and order after committing 34 felonies.
And January 6th.
They don't care.
He had a bad day. One of the guys, you know what they said, Alex?
What?
At the Coliseum, they had the guy like man on the street, the Jordan Clapper guy. He had one of his guys there. He said, well, what do you think of January 6th? You know what the guy said, the Trump guy, the fan? He had a bad day. He had a bad day.
He tried to overthrow the government.
Exactly. A bad day. Maybe I was late for work.
I think that was America had a bad day.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't even know, man. I can't get over it. I think you're right, Alex. This country, they deserve what they get if they get him. I hope he burns it. I hope he sticks it up their ass if he gets in.
Hey, I don't care. I'm going to be in France, and if he wins, I'm not coming back.
And Alan, is Bill really this retarded that he's going to vote for him? And what a pussy. He can't even call the show anymore. He's got to hide. His girlfriend must let him out of the house. He's got his balls in a bag. Can I call Alex? No, he doesn't agree with us.
Yeah. I met his girlfriend, and she's very nice. I thought she was a very nice lady.
He used to tell me that when she heard you on the show, oh, I don't like his politics. So, Alex doesn't even know her. I told her at the time.
Well, when they came over here, Alex, we didn't talk politics. What?
And I'm not trying to pick on the Trumpers. But it's like I have no respect for them because they're like retarded, really. At least the kid who's retarded, there's something wrong with him. You got to take care of him. These people are like, you would think like they're civilized in the mind. They can figure out like this guy is no good.
It's a cult. They're brainwashed.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They think all the charges that were against them are all false. That they were all rigged. I mean, they think these things because Trump keeps telling them all this.
I understand.
I think it's ignorance.
I understand if you're a Republican,
yeah,
and you don't want to vote for Kamala Harris because you're a Republican. I understand that. Okay.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is why you feel the option is to vote for Trump. You know, to begin with, there are a lot of third-party options if you want to go even more right-wing than the party is. But I mean, it seems to me like you've got other choices. One of the choices is you vote for the vice president, but you don't vote for the president. Okay.
Their names are together.
Not on my ballot.
Not on your ballot?
On my ballot, I believe on my ballot, president and vice president.
Separately for president and vice president?
Yep.
That's interesting.
Hey, Alex, Brian, tell him what I sent you in the picture.
Who?
My mother's ballot, the mail-in.
Tell
Alex.
Tony's mom's ballot got sent to Tony.
Yeah, I got it upstairs, Alex.
And if you don't know, she's passed away a couple years ago.
She said 2 years. I'm gonna vote
just for the audience that doesn't know the whole Tony story.
You cannot vote separately in Texas.
Can't vote separately? I'd go run out and get mine and see if I can vote separately. Well, if you can't vote separately,
I could sign her name. I used to do it for her.
Just don't vote on the top of the ballot. Vote for your senators. Yes. Vote for your congressman. Yeah. Do all of that. But you don't have to vote for Trump. I mean, how can you vote for somebody who's morally corrupt?
Why are you going to not vote for her just because she had these softball interviews? I don't get it.
Well, no, I'm saying that I watched her and I felt after I'd seen all the interviews she did, I was a little less enthusiastic about her than I was. I realize there's no choice, but I'm not as enthusiastic as I was about her. I was very enthusiastic about her, as you know, because I like the joy that she brought to the election. And the joy she brought to politics. That's how politics should be. Okay. And in these interviews, I didn't see that joy in evidence, maybe a little bit on Colbert. Okay.
She had a opinion with him, I heard. They're probably faking it, right?
What?
I only listened to the Howard Stern one, and for a person who already knew who I'm going to vote for, it was neat to hear some of the behind the scenes, like when when Howard asks, you know, when he, what were you thinking when he starts saying, you know, they're eating the cats and they're eating the dogs, they're eating the pets, you know? And, you know, you could see sort of the things that she's going through in the process and then her background and stuff like that. I think it was really interesting as somebody who already knows who they're going to vote for. Now, if I didn't know who I was going to vote for, of course, but I don't know if either of them are going to say anything to make me sway my vote.
Well, I mean, let's face it. What choice do we have, you know? I mean, I've either got to vote for Kamala, or not, or don't vote at all.
I just pray he loses. I'm just worried.
Or I can go and just, you know, not vote for president. But it'd be kind of silly, you know, to do that, especially when I want her to get, you know, get my vote, okay? But, you know, just kind of, it was, I just felt a little less sure of her after all these interviews that she did than I do now.
You want a little more substance, before, I think you could say, too.
No, it's not substance. Well, I felt she was avoiding some substance. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk about substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad Tony's
here. And by the way, don't compare her to Trump, because Trump has no substance. And that's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
There you go.
Anyway, talk about substance. And this was something that she announced on The View interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then repeated later on Stern.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I'm glad Tony's here, because Tony and I have something in common. We're both caregivers.
Yeah, I used to be.
Well, he's not anymore, but Tony was a caregiver.
Yes.
And so the idea that Harris announced is that she wants to expand Medicare to include long-term in-home care.
That would have been good.
And this is real. I mean, as a home caregiver myself.
Yeah.
This is a great idea. And it's not nothing new. It's nothing new, because actually, Biden wants to expand home care.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's very nice. But, you know, she's also saying, I want to do this and I want to give a $25,000, advance on buying a home and blah, 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 and thousands of dollars for this and that. And when on 60 Minutes, he said, how are you going to pay for it? She didn't come up with a very good answer. She said, oh, well, we'll go after the billionaires. I mean, it was very nebulous.
Well, it's very easy when
you're running for president to say you're going to do this, that you're going to give away the farm. Because once you're elected, you don't have to do it.
In the case of Medicare, she said there, if we can expand.
Excuse me, folks. I feel I got a cold here. Anyway, go ahead.
I got my flu shot.
We can expand the ability of the federal government to negotiate drug prices, like they've had with some drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Insulin, yeah.
She says that we could actually have enough savings to pay for that expenditure.
Yeah.
So it's paid for. It's paid for, just like the Inflation Reduction Act was paid for.
All I'm saying is you can do all this while you're running for office, but can you really pull it off once you're president? That's my question.
Well, he's going to need Congress. I mean, and let's just face it, you know, when
if she has a Congress on her side, if she has a Senate on her side, she can get a lot of stuff done. But
if the Republicans didn't rule the House, we would still have the child tax credit that we had for a year or so during COVID. That went away.
Well, you know, if she can get all the various segments of the United States on her side, she's going to be okay. You know, she might be able to do some of this stuff, but you know, it's she can promise anything she wants to right now. You know, can she pull it off? You know, we don't.
Biden pulled some of it off. I mean, unfortunately, because we had Manchin and Sinema.
Yeah.
You know, blocking. I mean, Build Back Better became the Inflation Reduction Act, which was a fraction of what we could have gotten, but it was better than nothing. I mean, Harris was the tie-breaking vote. It was a 50-50 Senate. Fortunately, it didn't require 60 votes, because it was, what would they call, budget reconciliation.
Yeah.
So Super because majority. Of reconciliation, they were able to get it by with a simple majority vote.
Right.
And we got great climate legislation passed or spending passed. We got health care. And we could have gotten more. And if we work hard enough, we can. I mean, we can do it.
And if Trump gets in office, he'll turn it over.
All that goes away if Trump wins.
I'll tell you, in a way, what we've got.
I totally agree with Charlie.
We've got a country that that would like to say that the great idea of this government is compromise. And I think compromise sucks.
Yep,
compromise, when you compromise on anything, you water it down. No, there should never be any, there shouldn't be any compromise.
I mean, Obamacare was a huge compromise. It was so much better what he proposed, and the Republicans wouldn't let him put it through. So he had to put down that watered down thing that he had.
Of course. Well, we just say forget the whole thing because we couldn't, you know.
No.
Well, one Republican.
Let's go back to the beginnings of Medicare. Medicare only takes care of 80% of your medical costs. Why didn't it take care of
100%?
That was a compromise, and it's a sucky compromise because it costs you more to pay for that extra supplemental than it ever would have to pay for the Medicare. If they just done the other 20%, we would have been gold.
What's that called? The donut hole, Alex? Was that what they were called?
Donut holes in prescription.
Oh, okay.
And that's going away in 2025. The donut hole's gone.
Yeah, which is good.
Thanks to President Biden.
Yep.
Maximum out of pocket in 2025.
It's still $2,000, but fine. Some people don't have any money. Try and find the $2,000.
I understand that, but right now.
Trying to find $20,000.
Well, right now it's at $8,000. So, $2,000 is better than $8,000. And you're right, Alex. Some people don't have the money to come up with that $2,000. Yeah. Most people probably won't reach that $2,000.
And you know what I was going to tell you? No. I was going to tell Tom. Did you hear what she said to Winston? She alluded to it. She may put Alex a Republican in a Catholic Cheney. It sounds like.
Yeah, well, asked her if she is going to put a Republican in.
That would be nice, I thought, Tom.
Well, yeah, sure. Why not?
She had already said elsewhere that she was going to do that. That's not a hard thing to do. Her name is Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I heard one historian had an interesting point, where would you put a Liz Cheney into the administration? It could be a UN ambassador.
A what?
UN ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Would be a good position for Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
Or you could make one up.
Well, anyway.
You could put her in charge of COVID. You could do a million things.
Yeah, but I'm saying that would be one example, and it doesn't have to be Liz Cheney. It could be another Republican. I remember Obama had Ray LaHood as his Secretary of Transportation. Uh-huh. He was really good, And the reason why Ray LaHood was involved was because when Obama was a state senator in Illinois, they worked together on death penalty issues, and so they could develop a good friendship.
As I said,
Ray LaHood was a great Secretary of Transportation. I'm open to a Republican for a Harris administration.
Ray, did you see any of these interviews that she did over the weekend or couple of days?
I didn't watch any of them, no.
Oh, okay.
I heard about them and read about them, but I didn't watch them.
We still have a Trump appointee in Biden's administration.
I know.
The head of the Fed. Trump appointed him.
Yeah, and he's
done. That's not really considered administration.
Biden could have replaced him.
That's a totally independent.
The Federal Reserve is not a part of the executive branch.
Hold on, what were you going to say, Ray?
The Federal Reserve is actually technically part of the government. It's a private entity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the president gets to pick who the head of the Fed is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Biden could have put a Democrat in there and took the present guy out of there.
Why? If he was doing a good job.
Oh, there's a term.
I agree. Why? He is doing a good job.
Yeah. No, the one that's killing us is DeJoy in the post office, and yeah. they can't seem to get him out.
Nope.
Yeah. He's been ruining the post office.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, no.
Have you noticed? Have any of you lost postage or that you sent that just never reached?
Oh yes, it happens to me.
It's happening to us all the time now too. My son didn't get his medicine. My wife sent something to get my son's 523 transferred to us, and she had to get all these special signatures that got lost.
That doesn't augur well for mail-in ballots, does it?
UPS.
No, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to mail mine in.
I'm mailing mine tomorrow, so it has 4 weeks to get there.
Yep. I think I'm going to fill out my mail-in ballot and walk it over and put it in the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't mean it gets from the box to the post office.
Well, he doesn't have anything to do with it getting from
I mean, I'm just going to bring it to the poll on the on election day.
Oh, and drop it there.
Yeah.
You can do
that. Yeah, they also have they also have drop boxes. They have several in Berkeley.
That's what he's talking about.
Oh yeah, we have those too. Yeah,
there's one in my city hall. I always put mine there. Yeah,
we don't have anything like that. Yeah,
California's great.
Hmm? California. I was going to say it's all over California.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get drop boxes at most libraries.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that one thing I was mentioning this the other day on the other show, and it kind of gets to me when I'm watching TV. All of a sudden, they do an ad against somebody, okay?
Yep.
And I have no idea what party the guy who they're doing the thing against, is part of, okay?
Yeah.
And then I'll see an ad by him, and it doesn't say, excuse me.
What he's running for or anything. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Excuse me.
There's one like that on Hulu that runs constantly, and I have no idea who the guy is.
They should have
or what he's running for.
Whatever happened to them saying Republican candidate, whatever. We know. Tonight, I thought there was some woman, and I went, God, she's got to be a Republican. So I asked, Alexa, what party was she from? And it turned out she was a Democrat, you know.
It just seems like really bad marketing.
Well, a lot of people just don't want to say I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat because they'll just turn a bunch of people off by making
that's a good point. That's
I would like to know when somebody is putting somebody else down.
The person she's putting down is
of a certain party that isn't theirs. I'd like to know what their party is, and it's a committee for a better government. You know, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, really.
You know, so, I mean, I just feel that you watch all these ads and you just don't know what to believe. Because, of course, the negative ads are going to all be lies, you know, whether they're Republican or Democrat that are doing them.
Yeah.
So it just gets down and dirty. And then you have no perception about what party the person is from that they're doing the ad against. Yeah. You know, that certainly is, to me, a violation of something, you know, and has to be corrected. There has to be a law made to change that. But there won't be, because there are people who like to do that kind of advertising. So. Yeah. Oh, boy. I'll just be glad when all of this is over. God. The only thing is, you get...
Hey, Alex.
What?
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to tell you something before I forgot, but I don't want to change the subject if you don't want to. It was something for you when you go to Paris.
Yeah.
There's this, it's Notre Dame virtual reality experience. If you go, when you go, you got to do this thing. It's the most, it's like you're on the holodeck on Star Trek.
Oh, really?
It's incredible. It's right next to the cathedral.
Right next to the cathedral?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe. Right,
Yeah, check. You should check it out. It's amazing.
Really?
Send them some tickets, Bray.
I don't know how much walking I'm going to be able to do today.
There's hardly any walking.
I could hardly walk today. And I'll tell you, as somebody brought it up to me, I've been doing all this PT stuff at home, and then I go for a walk, and I can't walk.
Yeah.
And I think it's from doing the PT.
Oh, I've been worse from PT myself.
Yeah, if I don't do PT, I bet I'm not as weak when I'm walking, you know. But I did the PT before I went walking today, and it was terrible.
Yeah, actually, the medical community would disagree. The PT is good for you, build strength,
and it makes it
less likely that you're going to fall.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I could barely walk. Okay. All right.
Maybe the exercises aren't the right ones.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It could be, I really don't know. All I know is I was walking better before the PT than I am now. Okay? So, you know.
What are you doing at the PT? What type of exercises?
Leg things and, balancing things and standing up and getting muscles going in the legs and then leg up and down, you know, a lot of leg stuff. And I think that stuff is making it weak for me when I'm walking. You know, it's
so just, you have arthritis?
Huh?
It's easy to test. Stop it for a couple weeks and go on your walks. And if it's not bothering you, go back to the PT for a week or two, and if it bothers you, you'll have an answer.
Well, I'm going to talk to my PT person next week and say I really think it seems to be so much worse when I don't do anything.
Take that cane to France.
What?
Take the cane that I sent.
Of course, I'm going to take a second one in case that one breaks. You know, and I know in most places in the world you can buy, you know.
Yeah.
Excuse me, folks, if I've been sneezing tonight and so on, but for some reason I feel like my eyes are tight, burning and so on, and there's something in the air here. So, what the hell?
That's the reason I'm not off sneezing and stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what I'm allergic to. It doesn't look like there's a lot of pollen this time of year, but you never know. Could be there's more mold.
Global warming has caused evergreens, like I'm allergic to be pollinating year-round around here. So
no wonder I've been having to take Zyrtec now, which I
take it every day. Yeah, I'm the same way, Ray.
Yeah, my friend in San Jose, her eyes are all puffy. She says she never gets allergies, and right now it's really bad.
Really?
Really bad. Really bad.
Okay, I'll look at that. But
it gives me a sore throat.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of not working out for a couple of days and seeing if my legs are better.
Yeah.
And if so, I'm going to have to stop doing it. And next time I go to my PT session, tell them, hey, you know, I couldn't do it anymore because it was affecting the way I walked. I didn't have any strength in my legs. That's what the problem was, you know. Now, maybe if I stop doing it for a couple of days, I'll get strength in my legs from having done those. But I'm not going to do them just before I'm going to go out and walk, you know. So anyway, hey, that's our theme song playing there. Boy, it's been a nice hour with you guys. Sorry if I've been sneezing and gasping and all of that, but, you know. Always good to have you here, Tom. Tom's been around a lot lately, which is really nice, you know.
It is nice.
Yeah. Good.
It's nice to see a fellow Bay Area person here.
And, Kevin, what are you doing in your car right now? Are you delivering food?
Sideshow.
I'm just sitting outside the store waiting.
Just waiting for what?
A delivery.
Oh, a delivery. Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Waiting for an order.
Thank you for being with us, Kevin. I appreciate it, as always. You too, Alan. Thank you for being with us. I want to thank, of course, Charlie Wallace and Brian Neary and Tony. Always good to have you here. And Ray, good to have you here tonight. Do it more often. We'll see you all a little bit later. Everybody give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you, okay? There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. Coming up next, it's... oh, boy. I'm sniffling. It's driving me nuts. It'll be the intersection with Amy Manuel. And she'll be taking your calls at... on Skype at GabNet Live. I'll see you again tomorrow night. Same time, same station in life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, you know, tell her I love her, okay? Bye-bye, everybody.